Hi there, and welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Commute Podcast. I'm your host, Smata, and hey, look at this, we're on to episode two. We got episode one of the books. I covered all six of my teams, that is, and just kind of talked about the mid-season strategy that I'm in, where I'm at in the standings, what I'm doing and focusing on, reviewed a little bit of draft strategy and kind of how the season has ebbed and flowed for me, and then also touched on a few players. So I hope you enjoyed that. If you haven't listened, you can go back in the Friends of Fantasy Benefits podcast a few episodes back, and it should be there. So, you know what? Hey, I'm currently on the 210 headed west. It's about 5:45 in the morning, so I am headed into Los Angeles, and you know, it's Friday, so I'm a little bit more chipper than usual. I get out a little bit early on Fridays. I try and get in a little bit earlier, but yeah, it's usually not as bad of a commute on Fridays here, and I'm really happy about that, at least in the mornings. In the afternoons, that's a different story. Becomes a mess, but again, I get to leave a little bit early, so I try and beat that a little bit. But anyway, you know, I want to get into what we're going to cover today, which is taking a team that you did not start and draft, a dynasty team. So you're taking over a dead dynasty league team, coming into the league fresh, and you're going to rebuild this team. What strategies do you take? What steps do you need to take in order to take this team from something that was left for dead into a contender? And with this, I'm just to do this, I'm going to cover what I did in a league that I took over two seasons ago. Actually, a season ago. This is my second year in this league. And I'm going to kind of talk about all of the trades that I've made up to this point, some of the processes that I took. And yeah, we'll see how this turns out. And yeah, hopefully we get some good stuff from it. Anyway, let's jump in. So, you know, I've got my emails up. This is a CBS league, and CBS is sending me emails for every trade that I've completed since I've been in this league. So I'm going to start from the bottom, and I'm going to work my way up and kind of talk about what I was thinking behind each one. And from there, we'll kind of just talk about the strategy that I took from the very beginning. So this is a 30-team dynasty league, and the team that I took over had some strong assets. I mentioned this in the first episode, but when I took over this team, it had Chris Sale, Brian Dozier, and Chris Davis. It also had Byron Buxton. This was the main core of the team. Other than that, it was pretty much stripped out. We had players that were no longer on an MLB roster. We had prospects that were probably not even top 300, 400 prospects. And, you know, it was a neglected team, obviously, because the owner left. I was extremely fortunate to come in with strong 30-team league assets. So because of that, I had to make a decision, and you have to make a decision early on. When you take over this new team, are there enough existing assets to try and compete with them in the next year or the following year? And I decided that there was. Brian Dozier and Chris Davis, especially, were a core that in the next 3 years was strong. I can't say anything past that. They're all, especially with the hitters, a little bit older. And then with Chris Sale, I mean, he could go on the shelf at any point. So if you're going to try and win, you need to try and win now. So a little bit of quirks about this dynasty league, and this is something you really need to take into account when really deciding which directions to go. This is, again, a 30-team league, and it's a head-to-head league with 10 hitting categories and 10 pitching categories. There's some interesting quirks in there. As I mentioned in the previous episode, there's a fielding category, which markets the first baseman and catchers a little bit higher. And then there's also on the pitching side, there's like pitches per inning, so efficiency is important. Pure walks per nine is a category. So, you know, there's some extra things to keep track of, but overall, I would say that there are some players that get vaulted up, but really looking at the standings, like a 5x5 ranking, sorry, not standings, but rankings, the typical 5x5 rankings pretty much mirror these weird 10x10 rankings for players. So, anyway, keeping that in mind, as well as the lineup structure, so we're only allowed 2 starting pitchers a day and 3 relief pitchers. So if you have 3 pitchers with starting pitcher eligibility only, you are kind of screwed. You've got to pick 2 of those to throw on a given day. And I'm actually facing this on, I think, let's see, today is Friday. So on Sunday, I have 4 starting pitchers going, and I'm going to have to pick 2 of them. It's unfortunate, but when the lineups get reset for the All-Star, or not reset, but, you know, the rotations kind of all get restarted on a similar day, you're going to end up with starting pitchers all kind of getting back on a similar rotation again. But anyway, with that, those are all things to consider. So Chris Sale became exponentially more important in this league because he was obviously a top 4 and is a top 4 starting pitcher at this point. I think you could argue top 2. And so I decided last year to keep Chris Sale. That was a conscious decision because I could have gotten a lot for Chris Sale. At some point in the year, I had put him on the trade block and got some huge prospect offers back, but I didn't feel comfortable enough moving him and then still trying to compete. And everything I had done up to that point was very much, okay, I want to try and build up this roster to compete soon. So with all that in mind, let's jump into the first trade that I made in this league. Very small. I had Enrique Hernandez and Martin Perez, and I traded them for Jordy Mercer. This trade, in hindsight, kind of looks like especially when you consider that I have Jock Peterson. Jock Peterson and Enrique Hernandez in this league in a 30-teamer is great, especially with daily moves, which this is. They typically, you know, Hernandez bats against lefties, Peterson against righties. Very good pairing. Something that I probably should have considered more, but at this point, Enrique Hernandez coming off a very poor season in which he didn't even hit well against lefties. And then Martin Perez, while young, I've never been a Martin Perez fan, and he was someone, or Martin Perez, not someone that I wanted on this team. So I was actively shopping him from the very beginning, and I didn't have a shortstop that played every day, and starting to just accumulate at bats, especially in a 30-team league, was important. So even though Jordy Mercer isn't great and probably never will be, he's been serviceable, and up until this point, he is still my starting shortstop. So there you have it. The first trade I made, got rid of a starting pitcher that I deemed basically droppable, and Enrique Hernandez, which also freed up a roster spot, which is extremely important for the reason that I want to get into next. So I want to discuss something you really need to figure out when you first join a league, any dynasty league, whether startup or not. It's how many prospects are going to be owned and what are the replacement level prospects. So in this league, there are 4 minor league spots. That's it. So 4 times 30, that's 120 minor leaguers that will be owned for sure. On top of that, you can put minor leaguers on your bench. You cannot have them in your starting lineup, however. Your starting lineup has to consist of major league assets. They can be on the DL if you're on a roster squeeze, I believe, because they're in some positions there aren't even available guys on the wire to pick up that have that eligibility. I don't think that there's a shortstop eligible player on the waiver wire currently. So if Jordy Mercer were to go down, I'd just have to have him on my DL in my starting lineup, but I cannot then utilize the DL spot and put Jordy Mercer into the DL, pick up a minor league player just to see if that minor league player gains steam while Jordy Mercer's out, and take the hit in the lineup. So this is especially important for rebuilding teams. You can't just hold minor leaguers throughout an entire roster. So like I said, 120 minor leaguers are going to be in those spots. There are no limits. So the rule for this league is that minor leaguers are minor league eligible if they are in the minor leagues. Pretty simple. So if they've had 1,000 plate appearances in Major League Baseball and get sent to the minor leagues, they are eligible for that roster. I know that's different than how some people play in some of my other leagues, so just wanted to clarify that here. So, again, getting back to the replacement level prospects. On top of that, you know, teams typically held at least one to three more minor leaguers on their bench. And so, considering all of this, I estimated about 200 prospects taken. And so on top of that, especially when you're coming into a league that you're replacing an existing owner that's been around for a little bit, there are going to be some teams that have been holding on to prospects that they're not willing to give up on. So there's definitely top 200 minor leaguers, top 200 ranked minor leaguers, that is, within the waiver pool. So understanding the replacement level prospect is extremely important. And you'll kind of see as I go through some of these trades, but I'm willing to trade someone like a Joey Wentz for pretty much nothing. So, because that player is in the waiver pool and ready to be picked up. So, anyway, getting back to the trades. Sorry we haven't covered too many yet so far. Hopefully we'll pick this up and talk a little bit more about these. So the next one I pursued was trading. Let's see here. Sorry, going under a bridge. And okay, so in this trade, my relief pitchers were pretty barren when from this team. Other than Craig Kimbrell was actually another player that I had on this team. It was a good base. I don't know if the team owner just got bored with the league or what, but anyway, I traded John Jaso for Adam Lind and Tyler Thornburg. At the time, this was before Thornburg had gotten hurt, and this was also when Adam Lind had just been signed by the Nationals, I believe, and then John Jaso was slated for a backup slash platoon role with Josh Bell. This owner had Josh Bell on their team, and so this was a natural, pairing for him. And for me, I viewed John Jaso and Adam Lind pretty equal, even Adam Lind a little bit better at the time, especially when I thought Ryan Zimmerman might go down. He was injury prone, and of course Ryan Zimmerman goes off. Adam Lind doesn't get a ton of playing time, but did play a pretty good role on my team last year, contributing, that's for sure, especially when he started to get some time in the outfield, which was pretty surprising. But anyway, so this trade didn't really work out, but it was also pretty small. But again, looking to fill your roster with usable guys. This league, is also a saves are worth 4 points. So there's a weird saves hold relief pitcher category. Saves are worth 4 points. Holds are worth 2 points. Blown saves, -4 points. So it's an odd. And then a inherited runners scored is also negative points. So there are some valuable holders too. So relief pitchers, they don't necessarily have to be closers in this league to have some value, and we'll kind of see that in a trade. I think the next one we'll see that. So the next trade that I did here, and again this is all preseason, so this was in March of last year, 2017. So this was probably the most transformative trade that I made in this offseason. It was a large one. So I sent over Byron Buxton, Chase Anderson, and Jordan Zimmerman for Josh Hader, Ramel Tapia, Mike Fultonevich, Tyler Saladino, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Yes, I won this trade. At the time, though, you have to remember where you're at. This is preseason of 2017. So this is also Jordan Zimmerman coming off a bad year, but also was still viewed, I think, as like a 250th overall ADP-type player heading into 2017. So he was a serviceable starter, especially in a 30-teamer. Byron Buxton had been horrible. Remember, this is 2017, so he had not come off the great second half of last year. He still held a lot of prospect pedigree, which you can see here. I was able to get a lot of decent prospects with him at the center of it. And then Chase Anderson was a 400th overall flyer at this point in his career. He had not broken out. This was the year that he broke out, and including him in the trade specifically for Tyler Saladino, that was the trade in my mind, how I kind of broke it down player by player. That was the bummer end of this deal. But again, long run, starting pitchers turn over so much that I was willing to make this trade over and over and over again. So obviously Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I've held on to him since this trade. I mean, the way that I identified him at this point, it's not like he was marketed. And that's the other big thing in dynasty leagues. You know, someone might not be active on their trade block, but you need to go in and make offers to them anyway and ask them about the players that they may not be advertising for sale. You would be surprised to see what people might be willing to do. So what I had done is I sent a note to this guy saying, "Hey, I'm interested in Vladimir Guerrero Jr. What kind of trade would you need for him? What would you need to do?" And remember, Vlad was going into 2017, coming out of a strong rookie ball campaign. This guy picked up Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in, I believe, his first-year player draft in the previous, in 2016, I believe. If not even later, when CBS added him in the year of 2016. So it was fresh to his team. He was willing to part with him because he hadn't been holding on to him forever, and he hadn't seen any production at any other level of the minors outside of rookie ball, which, understandable. But when you identify someone that you're interested in and you think has extremely high upside, make that play for him. See what they need, especially if you're willing to build up some a base of prospects for your future. So in this particular case, again, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. also added Ramel Tapia, who I was really excited about. I thought he was going to get playing time last year. He did a little bit. I hate the Rockies, and many of you do, with how they've handled Ryan McMahon as well. So, you know, it's unfortunate. I'm still holding on to Tapia at this point. I wish that I'd moved on, but you know, maybe he'll get some playing time next year. You never know. But yeah, moving on from there, Fultonevich. So when I was evaluating this trade again, this was a large deal. I was really doing, you know, I break this out one for one, and then so in my mind, it was Tyler Saladino for Chase Anderson. It was Mike Fultonevich for Jordan Zimmerman, and it was Tapia, Vlad, and Hader for Buxton. That's how I kind of broke it up in my mind. And I essentially, again, made a decision about Buxton and said, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Buxton. Let's see what we can get for him. I'm coming fresh to this team. I want to make it my team. Just because he's on your team doesn't mean that it's necessarily the best move for you moving forward. So shopping Buxton was one of the first things I did in this league. This was in March of 2017. So obviously Josh Hader has turned into one of the relief aces this year. Last year was a roller coaster ride. I almost traded Hader at a certain point, but I am glad that I held on to him for the production, not obviously for anything that he's done recently. So moving on, again, we've got another preseason trade. So in this one, oh boy, you'll see how funny some of these trades look in hindsight. So okay. Let me make sure that I am seeing these trades correctly. Sorry about that. Hold on one second. Okay, we're definitely missing a trade here that was pretty important. I'm not quite sure why it's not in my emails. Interesting. Okay, so this is not going to be the best way to do this, unfortunately, because there are definitely some trades missing. So I'm going to have to write some of these down. I'm actually getting closer to work right now anyway, so I think this is a good natural break point here. But I believe we're missing a trade where I acquired Blake Snell and Walker Buehler for someone. I don't remember who that is. So anyway, that'll be it for this part of it. We'll jump back in here on the way home.
You're listening to the Commute Podcast with Smata. Now back to the show.
And we're back. Thanks for hanging in there. I did round up the trade that was missing. I'm not sure, I must have deleted the email at some point, but it was a big one, and one I definitely want to cover. So anyway, before we jump into that, I am on my way home now, so there has been a little bit of a break in time since I last recorded. I'm about to head on the 60 freeway headed east. I'm actually not headed home. I'm headed to go see a friend, so taking a little bit different route than I normally would on my way home. It's about 2:20 in the afternoon, and again, like I said earlier, I get out a little bit earlier on Fridays, which is nice. Still going to be a little bit of traffic here, just looking at Google Maps, but hey, it's all good. I'm getting to podcast, and that's pretty dang cool. Anyway, let's jump back into it. So I wrote this down. The trade that was actually the second biggest trade I made in that offseason, it was, I had mentioned I picked up Blake Snell and Walker Buehler. The trade was actually Blake Snell, Walker Buehler, and AJ Puck. That's who I received. I traded away Hunter Pence and Tony Cingrani. Right now that looks real bad for the other team, but you know, at the time that was basically a trio of pitching prospects, and we all know how often they work out. And I mean, we'll see with Puck. He obviously has Tommy John surgery. Spoiler alert, I did trade him later in this year, in this 2017 season. And then Walker Buehler, I also traded away for a trade that's not going to look great on my end. But if you remember back to 2017, Snell had come off a short stint at the end of 2016, where his walks per nine were 5, I believe. So he definitely was not a finished product that he is looking like right now. And definitely a lot of question marks there. Again, Puck had just been drafted, so imagine he was probably a 10th overall first round player draft pick, somewhere around there. And Walker Buehler was also just coming back from injury. So I definitely took, you know, a little bit of a risk on these three pitchers. I've actually traded Snell as well. So I don't hold any of these three pitchers anymore. I wish I did still have Snell, but we'll kind of get to that. But again, I was holding Pence, and Cingrani was kind of a droppable arm even at this point. I think he had closed a little bit in 2016, but had lost that job during the season, or wasn't 100% sure. I think maybe it was Raisel Iglesias was in the mix already and heading into 2017, and it was like a... anyway, doesn't really matter. But Hunter Pence, I mean, he'd been injured in 2016, but, you know, he wasn't viewed as this guy that had lost a bunch of skills. He was viewed as someone who was going to come back and hopefully perform at the levels he had in the past. But it was a player that, given his age and where I wanted my team to build into the future, wasn't really a guy I was super high on. So I decided it was a good time to move on from him and turn him into some pitching prospects. And sometimes you need to make this trade. I did want to try and win within the next couple of years, but, you know, there wasn't a high percentage likelihood that Pence was going to be that player. I could have been wrong, for sure, and all three of these pitching prospects could have gone in the tank, but as I mentioned, I've traded all three of them. And that's kind of my philosophy, is find their high point, sell them, right? So Puck, he had just been drafted. I really thought he was going to put up some great numbers in the minors, and his stock rose, and I was able to trade him. Walker Buehler, again, although I traded him in the preseason. And then Blake Snell, I actually really liked the arm. And I wrote him out all of 2017, traded him preseason 2018. So, excuse me. So, let's move on to the next trade here, which is that trade of Walker Buehler. And I got someone who I was a little bit higher on at the time, which was Gerardo Parra. Walker Buehler straight up for Gerardo Parra. So, you know, you win some, you lose some. Thankfully, Parra did end up helping me secure another player later on. But, you know, where we stood with this one, in hindsight, it definitely doesn't look good. So that's what you got to deal with, though. You have to make those moves in order. Like, you can't be scared of losing trades, I guess is what I'm trying to say. At the end of the day, you're going to win some, lose some. If you win more than you lose, that's the important thing. And in this league, I definitely feel like I have. So let's move on to the next trade after that. So I actually didn't make any more trades until June in this league. So I made a bunch of preseason trades, kind of shaped the team the way I wanted it. There was a large waiver wire process in the beginning of this league, too, in the offseason, which I picked up a lot of prospects, including Tristan McKenzie, Paul DeJong, actually, I had grabbed and held on to since the start of the season, before he was heralded. Just seemed like a guy who was close with that power stroke. That's exactly who he ended up being. I also traded him. We'll get to that one. So the one we're moving on to here is that Gerardo Parra, I ended up flipping him along with Anthony Banda, who I had gotten in waivers, for Mitch Moreland. And at the time, I was running out Adam Lind every day at first base. Mitch Moreland has ended up working out great, especially this year. I've got him in a rotation with another guy that I'm sure we'll see in our next trade, which we do. So here's where I trade this is in July, July 11th. I traded AJ Puck straight up for Justin Bour. Gave me a great first base tandem. They both platoon a little bit there, so having two guys was great, and you know, if they're both playing, I can slot one into the util spot. Gave me some flexibility there for sure. And that was pretty much at the height of AJ Puck's rise. He'd really, I believe at that point, put up some really good numbers in high A. So I guess we'll just head over to the next one here, which was, it looks like, almost on the same day, and this is when I traded. So at this point, we're in July, and my team, to this point, I noticed that I was in line for a playoff spot, borderline playoff spot, which I did end up making in 2017, in large part to just having Chris Sale, because I dominated the pitching categories with a lot of the other lower-end head-to-head teams. So I decided to trade off a couple more assets to help strengthen for a little postseason run. I really view in head-to-head, if you make it to the postseason, it's similar to Major League Baseball's postseason format. It's anyone's game once you get there, so the goal should be to get there and then strengthen for that. But I didn't think I was going to make a deep run, at least probabilistically. So this trade came in, I think, on the same day. I traded away Paul DeJong and Chance Adams for Josh Reddick and Brandon McCarthy. In hindsight, I really wish I had Paul DeJong still. And, you know, being high on him initially in the season, I was dumb to trade him away. This is a great example of, if you're high on a player, just because he comes in and then overperforms doesn't mean that you should all of a sudden become low on a player. Man, I liked Paul DeJong for what I thought he could be, which is a bat 230, 240, pop 20 to 25 home runs guy. He's turned into much better than that. And I just didn't believe it, so I thought, okay, I'll flip him for Josh Reddick, who's solid, especially in this league where there's a couple other quirky hitting categories here. And then the Chance Adams for Brandon McCarthy. I just picked Chance Adams up throughout the year. Brandon McCarthy was not injured at the time, had put up a pretty decent string of starts for the Dodgers at the time, and I basically got McCarthy for like one start after this, and then he was out for the rest of the season. So that was unfortunate. However, I still have Brandon McCarthy. He's been on and off, and I haven't started him at every turn. But yeah, overall, I don't love this trade just because Paul DeJong has a ton more value than Josh Reddick moving forward. But at least for last year and this year, it's not horrible. It's really just the future. So still running Josh Reddick out there when he's in the lineup. I do like Reddick in general. Okay. Moving on to the next one. Again, trying to make that run July 24th. So it looks like a couple weeks later. I moved. I moved Royce Lewis and Carlos Gonzalez in this deal. And Royce Lewis was my pick out of the first-year player draft. I actually think I got him fourth overall in the first-year player draft. I could not believe that he fell four spots. So I was ecstatic about that. However, I also decided he was so far away and not really in my contention window that I would kind of set out for myself that I figured that I would trade him pretty immediately. Carlos Gonzalez I had on this team as well. I was looking for him forever to get hot. Carlos Gonzalez obviously was horrible last year. And anyway, this is what I ended up getting for that combo. It was headlined by Felipe Vázquez, and then also picked up Danny Valencia and Hernan Perez. In hindsight, I definitely wish that I wouldn't have traded Royce Lewis, although Felipe Vázquez, we'll see in another trade, that I flipped him. I don't know. It's hard to just say in hindsight I wish I wouldn't have done this because I've made other moves that have basically continued to further my team. Let's see. We'll just go to the next one here. Early August, traded Austin Slater and Tristan McKenzie for a pair of arms, Cole Hamels and Ivan Nova. Again, trying to bolster up for the stretch run. This is a perfect example of basically Austin Slater. He had some playing time. I had picked him up and just off the wire in a 30-team league. So he did show some value at the time. He ended up getting hurt. I would have loved to see what Austin Slater would have done if he had gotten a bigger run. He may have changed the plans for the Giants moving into this year. But and then Tristan McKenzie, I got him out of the waiver wire period before the year started. I was really excited about him. He had a great year last year, and in my head, I just kept saying, he is 19 or 20 years old, whatever he was. This is potentially the peak of his value. You need to trade him. So Cole Hamels and Ivan Nova, they're depth pieces, but I mean, in a 30-team league, these are innings, and they ended up being and have been decent for me this year in certain spots, although I really want to get rid of Cole Hamels. All right, moving on. Some reason it just knocked me out of the emails. Okay. All right. In this one, basically the next day, I also I had Dellin Betances. You know, the relief pitchers in this league are pretty devalued, and traded him straight up for Seth Smith again for some offensive help. Unfortunately, Seth Smith was dropped at the beginning of this year because he didn't find a team. All right. Let's see here. Oh, they changed the format here. Apologies. Again, I'm in my car trying to make sure I don't crash into anything as I pull up these emails. All right, so that was it for the 2017 season. So moving into the 2018 offseason, or preseason, I should say. Here we go. Again, sorry for the dead time here. So I made one trade very early in... Oh my gosh, what is this lady doing? Okay, sorry. very, very early in the offseason. It was actually in December, right before Christmas. This is where I traded Blake Snell, Craig Kimbrell, and Felipe Vasquez. This is a pretty large package. But I got back Fernando Tatis Jr. and Taylor Schmell. So I basically... Again, Snell had his second half, but he didn't do what he had done this year and continued it yet. So we're thinking Blake Snell is an overall, you know, 200th ADP starter. And then Felipe Rivero / Vasquez and Craig Kimbrell are two top 10 closers, Kimbrell being a top three at this point. So basically, I mean, Fernando Tatis Jr., I believe preseason, he was a round fifth overall, depending on the list. Taylor Trammell is really high on, but ended up flipping him for what I thought was going to be a better than Blake Snell replacement. So, anyway, this was still with the aim of competing this year and again the following year, but I had Josh Hader, and what I did next was actually just replace one of those closers with Cody Allen, who I traded a trio of prospects, all of whom I picked off the waiver wire at a certain point. So Joey Wentz, Shed Long, and Helio Ramos, all of which were free to me, and I replaced Cody Allen with them. So, sorry, I got Cody Allen for them. And the reason I did this is because of what I kind of talked about earlier on the write-in, and that was the replacement level prospect that's on the wire. If it's this prospect, I can pick up a prospect that could easily be Joey Wentz in 10 days, in 15 days, whatever. I can't pick up a Cody Allen. So... Anyway, that's one of the easiest trades I've made all season, made since I took over this team. Replaced one of the closers, so at this point I've got, I believe the trio of relievers was Cody Allen, Josh Hader, and Michael Feliz. Michael Feliz, I either dropped or traded or something. I can't remember, but we'll find out if he's in any of these trades. So the next trade I made, which was early March of this year, so flipped Taylor Trammell for Jeff Samardzija. Can I hit undo 1,000 times over, please? I really thought Samardzija was going to be my number two heading into the year behind behind Chris Sale. And I thought that that combo would help push the K9, Walk 9, which are both categories in this league, of Jeff Samardzija in 2017, were outstanding. It's just all gone off the rails and downhill. This was a win-now move and did not work out. I 100% regret this. Anyway, moving on. Okay, so they must have changed the format, of course. Sorry, I'm going to take a quick break, guys. All right, back again. Thanks for holding on there. And we'll jump right back into it. We really only have two more trades that I've made this year. This one, we're jumping ahead to June 14th. It's funny, both years you see make some preseason trades, and then it doesn't really start back up until June. Anyway, this one has been huge for me. So Alex Cobb, Gio Gonzalez, these are both two players that had been on my team since I took it over. Eric Sogard, who I had just picked up. I think he had just been called up again. And then John Duplantier. I don't know how to say his name. So I traded all of those players away for the following. Max Muncy, Joey Wentz, I got back. This is the same guy I traded him to. Steven Wright and Blake Rutherford. All of this to me comes down to Max Muncy for Gio Gonzalez. It's essentially how this boiled down. The rest of the guys I really couldn't care less about. Alex Cobb at this point, I'm not willing to wait any longer. He's not usable in pretty much any league. We're in a 30-team league. He's not usable. John Duplantier, I picked him up last year when he got added to CBS, and there's another guy I got for free, and I'm flipping. He's a top 100 prospect for sure, but he's an arm that is currently injured, and a minor league arm that's currently injured. It's time to sell. If there's anyone buying, sell him. And then Eric Sogard was whatever. But Max Muncy, man, I don't know about you, but I believe in Max Muncy. The plate discipline is off the charts. The power is legit. Like, you know when you look at, like, oh, look at what Didi Gregorius did in the beginning of the season. You're, like, looking at him like, yeah, he's hitting home runs, but, yeah, that's Didi Gregorius still. You look at Max Muncy's home runs, like, in person, I'm saying, like, dude is bombing. He's knocking him out. So, the metrics support it. The eye test supports it. I'm a Max Muncy fan. This is huge, huge, huge. Could be the best trade I've made. Although, looking back at this, the Hunter Penn steal is probably the best deal. But anyway, this was the third baseman that I've been looking for a long time. I parted with Danny Valencia early in the season. So Hernan Perez was filling in my third base slot. Besides catcher, he was the only kind of like iffy player in my on the offensive side. And so upgrading from Hernan Perez to Max Muncy has been huge. It's actually kind of changed. This has really kind of changed the fortune. This and then the next trade that I'm about to go through, which we'll just dive into right now. So I just straight up traded away Fernando Tatis. So I had, remember, I traded for Vlad very, very early on last year, and then I traded for Tatis early on this year. had already flipped Trammell, and it's time to get rid of Tatis because the offer was too good to refuse at this point. And actually, the original offer was Mitch Haniger and Trevor Bauer for Fernando Tatis. I asked for him to throw in Rich Hill as well, and that was accepted. So, again, Tatis for Haniger, Bauer, and Rich Hill. Yes, Rich Hill could get hurt. It's head-to-head. I could pretty much lose him for the entirety of the playoffs or any weekly stretch you could imagine. But Mitch Haniger, I think he's legit. I don't think he's a top 30 player, but I think he's top 75 player. I don't think that's out of the realm of what he is, realm of possibilities of what he is. And then Trevor Bauer is just taking tremendous steps forward. I really think he's legit. And if we're looking back at the trade I made to get Tatis, it was Tatis and Trammell for Snell, Kimbrel, and Felipe Vázquez. So if we're kind of doing the math across the board, let's just say I even just gave away. We can call Samardzija a throwaway at this point. Doesn't even. So I gave away Trammell. It was basically Felipe Vázquez, Craig Kimbrel, you could say for Mitch Haniger, and I think I would make that deal at this point. Relief pitchers, though important, you need them in order to win that one out of 10 pitching categories. I would much rather have a controllable young center fielder / I believe right fielder in Mitch Haniger. And then Trevor Bauer for Blake Snell. They're essentially equal. But in this league, I think Trevor Bauer plays a little bit better. Blake Snell still has, you know, not a walk issue, but a higher walks, that's for sure. So, anyway, this has basically brought my team full circle to where I am now. And I'm just going to read you off the team to show you. Basically, I took a team that had finished middle of the pack, had some good, solid assets in general, but then after that was barren. How I took that team in the span of 2 years to what I have now, which is a contender for the championship this year. Granted, head-to-head, we'll see how that turns out. So at catcher, I have Mitch Garver. This is my one really weak spot. I also had Jason Castro, who is on the DL and out for the year. So I'm rolling him out there. I am pursuing trades for catchers, but in a 30-team league, it can be hard to get people to trade the decent ones. So then at first base, I have Mitch Moreland and Justin Bour. And so I can kind of switch them out interchangeably. I've got a pretty flexible roster at this point where, between utility, first base, and then I've also got Max Muncy with first base eligibility. I've got a lot of flexibility there. Brian Dozier over at second base that I've had the entire time. Max Muncy at third. Jordy Mercer at short. Chris Davis with a K in left, which I guess I don't need to specify that anymore, right? Chris Davis is Chris Davis now. Mitch Haniger and Jock Peterson in center field. Jock came with the team originally, came very close to trading him off last year. I'm glad that I kind of stuck it out there. And then Josh Reddick in right. And I've also got Tony Kemp, who I've picked up this year. Franmil Reyes, Romel Tapia is on my bench. And then Garrett Cooper also, who has just come back spelling in case he switches off with Bour there at first base. I have a whole nother additional person to throw out there first. I believe Cooper is working on outfield eligibility as well. In the minor leagues, I have Luis Alexander Basabe, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Blake Rutherford, who came back in that other trade that I had just mentioned. Although I'm hoping to, someone just dropped Jordan Adams, and I kind of like him more than Rutherford at this point. And then I also have Seth Beer, who I got through the first-year player draft this year. Moving on to the pitchers, Chris Sale, and Trevor Bauer are highlighting. Fulton Evish, who I've had since the start, or no, I traded for Fulton Evish last year, that's right. Cole Hamels, Ivan Nova, and then I also have Ross Stripling, who I'm throwing out there in my third relief pitcher spot. He has relief pitcher eligibility. That's huge. and I got him for free this year off the wire. It's important to be attentive, even in a 30-team league, to what is on the wire. Cody Allen and Josh Hader in the relief spots, and then I've also got Corbin Burnes, who recently got called up. Picked up Corbin Burnes once he got added to CBS last year. And then Joey Wentz is also in the minors, although I may end up dropping him or trying to ship him out. I believe news came out that Wentz maybe came out of the a recent game with an injury. So again, and then in my injured reserve, in my starting pitchers, Brandon McCarthy, Jeff Samardzija, Stephen Wright, and someone actually dropped Caleb Smith once he hit the DL. I'm willing to take up a DL spot with Caleb Smith, so added him right back up. So a lot of moves on the off the wire through the waiver process and the first-year player draft, and a lot of trades. That's what's taken me from a dead team to a contending team in 2 years, and making the playoffs last year. You may not be as lucky to have the baseline pieces of maybe a Dozier, a Chris Davis, and a Chris Sale as I was coming into this league, but I do think it's possible. You don't need to go full rebuild if you have some of the pieces there. But don't be afraid to flip prospects either. Figure out when the height of their... if they're reaching new heights in their status, and, you know, maybe that's... I'm not talking about a Joe Adell who is reaching new heights. I mean, he could be a superstar, so, you know, trade wisely there, but... You know, you're looking at some of these pitching prospects, and A.J. Puck was expected to come up and strike out a ton of batters, right? He was an advanced college arm. I got a Justin Bour for him, an extremely serviceable player in this in a 30-team league, and now he's injured. You know, A.J. Puck is injured now. He's out for the year. And who knows, now there's going to be an extended timeline. There's going to be him revamping up his... innings, you know, will he come back as a relief pitcher once he hits Oakland? And then, you know, what year are we when he's fully starting? And is he helping? He's not helping that other team's major league roster at that point, not for the foreseeable future. So not every starting pitcher is going to get injured that's in the minor leagues, but the risk is just too great to buy into those guys and then sit on them forever. So, anyway, I'd love to hear if you have any thoughts, or if you have any questions about moves to make in your dynasty league, or you took over a dead team this year. I'd love to hear how you've evolved that team. But the dynasty construction to me, I just love this aspect of a dynasty league. You're making investments, you are flipping players, you know, when you see their value spike, and you're making long-term judgments on both minor league players and major league players. It's just a blast. Love Dynasty. That about wraps it up for this edition of the Commute Podcast. Again, I'm Smata. You can find me at Twitter. At @Smata_BB. This is Friends with Fantasy Benefits. You can find them on Twitter @FantasyBenefits. All right, talk to you next time.